Well, after officials here in Boston charged New England Patriots football star Aaron Hernandez with murder, they said they've been able to track him from the victim's home to the industrial park where the body was found on security camera video. Security video also tracked the Tsarnaev brothers, the Boston bombing suspects. But in 2009, the city council in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where the brothers lived, decided not to use Homeland Security-funded cameras. They worried that cameras were an invasion of privacy. Well, that thinking has changed somewhat, reflecting a shift across the country, as we're going to hear. But let's start in Cambridge. The Homeland Security-funded cameras are mounted high up in parks and squares. They're not turned on. But the questions now aren't as much about cameras, which are everywhere. They're about who gets the footage. Cambridge police say they'll adopt a policy of letting citizens know when the cameras are on, and they'll share data only with other law enforcement. Cambridge City Councilor Craig Kelly is with us. Craig, it's fair to say you're a left-leaning councilor, but you're now for turning on these cameras.
At this point, I'd say with this policy in place, I'm comfortable with turning them on.
The policy that the data isn't shared with someone outside the city.
The data is protected. That doesn't mean it's never shared, because there might be opportunities where someone says, listen, we need this data, and the court says yes or whatever. But as proposed, these cameras are on. Were they to be on? They would be on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they would be at the detail that you would see a car. Right? You wouldn't be able to read the license plate. You wouldn't be able to recognize the people walking down the street. They'd be relatively high-level cameras. Now, if something happened, the Emergency Communication Center staff, once they've received the proper training, would be able to access whatever the camera. Right now we have six, but this policy is proposed to be flexible and also transparent. So the idea is that no one is surprised about what's going on. What one person said in our meetings was radical transparency. So if there were an event, staff could operate them manually. And there's a tilt zoom cameras, and they could look at whatever it is within the field of vision. And then when that event was over, the cameras would just go back to whatever their regular status is, which is some high level just camera viewing of the area. But as long as the policy is transparent and so forth, I'm okay with that.
What do you say to your constituents who say, I don't want to have a Homeland Security camera that can catch me or my car or passing through a square? What do you say to them?
I say I understand that. It's not a super comfortable thought. I'm not happy with the idea. I wish we didn't live in a world where these things were arguably, I wouldn't say necessary, but arguably useful tools. The question you asked me is more than countered by people that say, why wouldn't we want to have cameras? The high school's loaded with cameras. You walk down the street and you're on camera all the time in front of the bank, in front of MIT's buildings, all over the place you're on camera. So I think a lot of people just have this expectation that their privacy isn't really what it used to be. And it all comes down, I think, to the data sharing. So if we're not sharing the data with anyone, then the information we get isn't mined by anyone, just like the information Bank of America gets when you go to an ATM machine or something isn't mined by anyone.
I'm wondering, how much of your thinking is influenced by the bombings and the fact that the Tsarnaev
None. This discussion, we've had six meetings. We had three meetings about it before the bombings.
What do the people in your meetings say who are against turning the cameras on? Is it just a matter of privacy, or are there other issues?
You know, honestly, there aren't that many people who have really participated in these discussions. And those that have, the ACLU is against it. A number of other people, very small number, by email have said that they don't like them. More people, also a very small number by email, have said that they would like to see more cameras. And in our meetings, people have generally said they understand that's where technology is, and they are really concerned about transparency and sharing data.
I want you to hold on there for a second, Councillor Craig Kelly from Cambridge, Massachusetts, because I want to bring in Stateline reporter Maggie Clark, who's taking a look at this debate across the country. Maggie, we just heard from Craig Kelly. What he's hearing is that people are largely not opposed to turning on these Homeland Security cameras, as long as the data isn't shared. What are you hearing across the country?
Generally, what I'm hearing is that people, they understand why cameras might be necessary. What worries people is when cameras just show up and there's no public debate. So, for instance, the city of Seattle, they just installed a network of 30 cameras around the port. And the main concern of the citizens was that there wasn't much robust public debate. And so when cities are looking at putting in cameras, what people, the public really wants to see is are the clear data retention policies, what happens to the video, a robust public discussion, and the transparency in use.
And there were activists in Seattle who prevented that water surveillance program for a while.
That's correct, yes.
Well, and you point out that downtown Boston has at least 147 police cameras. We're hearing that the thinking is, well, if the data's not shared, I'm okay with it. But as we know, you may not know if the data gets shared.
Right. And what we saw after the Boston Marathon bombings was that all that data was shared.
And what about retaining the data? What are people thinking across the country about how long you hold on to it?
Right. So that is a major sticking point, especially for privacy advocates, that there really isn't a universal standard as far as data retention. For instance, the cities of Charlotte and Tampa both got security cameras installed for the recent national political conventions. And the cities are debating what to do with those cameras following the conventions. And the data retention policies, for instance, in those cities are drastically different. Tampa, the video is stored for 30 days, whereas in Charlotte, it's stored for 180 days. And there really isn't any sort of national guideline on that.
And City Councilor Craig Kelly, again, of Cambridge, Massachusetts, is that part of your debate? How long do we keep what's collected by the camera?
The suggested time is 45 days. I think the ACLU is concerned that that is too long.
How do you know the data is not going to be shared? It feels
you don't.
You don't.
I mean, what we have is we have an auditing policy. I mean, at some point, you have to trust people.
Well, that's Cambridge, Mass. City Councilor Craig Kelly. We're also speaking with Maggie Smith of Stateline about surveillance cameras. After the break, what is of more concern to some people than fixed cameras?
Now look at some of the other stories we're following. India has now joined the list of 19 countries that have turned down NSA leaker Edward Snowden as he looks for political asylum. And Pope John Paul II is one step closer to becoming a saint. A Vatican official says the canonization of the late Pope could come as soon as December 8th. We're back in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're talking today about surveillance cameras. Homes, towns, businesses have them. Recent studies in parts of Baltimore and Chicago have shown that cameras in public places have led to a drop in crime. Restaurant and store cameras on the Boston Marathon route caught the two bombing suspects on tape. Those images were shared with police and FBI agents at what's called a regional fusion center. This is where intelligence is gathered and analyzed. We're speaking with Craig Kelly, a city councilor in Cambridge, Mass. The police there want to turn on 6 Homeland Security-funded cameras that have been mounted high above town but switched off for 4 years. And Maggie Clark, a Stateline reporter who's looked nationwide at this issue. Maggie, tell us more about what other cities are doing.
Well, for instance, in New York City, after the marathon bombings, Mayor Bloomberg pretty much said, get used to it, get used to the constant surveillance. So in Lower Manhattan, for instance, they have a network of over 3,000 surveillance cameras. It's part of life. In the UK, their whole country is networked by surveillance cameras. Over 1 million cameras. Some places have decided that a lot of surveillance is what they want.
You mentioned New York. We did a lot of reporting on that. They have a huge headquarters where they can, if they're looking for someone in a red shirt, they can isolate all the red shirts that are picked up by 3,000 cameras in Manhattan. I mean, it's really quite something. You're talking an extraordinary system there, and they're monitoring this all the time. They have on-screen alerts when, say, a package is left unattended in a public place. The smart cameras can pick that up. But even New York City doesn't right now have the ability to do facial recognition from this surveillance imagery. Explain that, by the way, Maggie, because we see people's faces show up all the time in video, but that's not what that means.
Right. So as I understand it, the facial recognition is part of a series of technologies that can be put on top of the video, and that generally happens at a data processing center. So the video is collected and then sent to like a state fusion center, and so that those technologies are applied on top of the video, and that allows analysts to sort and find things.
Well, it's interesting. Cameras are one thing. Fixed cameras, as Councillor Kelly was saying, would be high up over huge squares in Cambridge and have this overview and can be manipulated, but they're still fixed cameras. Maggie, you say the next issue is drones, police drones.
Correct, yes. We saw in state legislatures this year a very robust debate all across the country about whether or not police departments should be using surveillance drones, and if they do, how they might use those. We saw six states pass laws requiring that police departments get a warrant for any drone use that they might take. There are a handful of police departments across the country that do own surveillance drones, and there are strict rules where they have to check in with the FAA before they use them, but that's a big interest across the country is surveillance drones.
Yeah. And Craig Kelly, it sounds like the City Council in Cambridge is heading towards having these cameras from the Homeland Security Department used by the city. What do you hope happens? What do you hope are the kinds of things that they will either prevent or help you deal with?
Camera technology isn't what it was. For, I think, $5,000, you can probably buy a portable camera. It's wireless. You put it up somewhere. And people regularly say, Craig, we've got something going on here. We're uncomfortable with it. We want the police to put cameras up.
So people are already asking you to have cameras used by the police?
Yes. And then they look and they say, Craig, you know, this stuff's possible. Why can't Cambridge do it? And I would like Cambridge to either decide we're not going to do it or we're going to do it, and this is how we're going to do it, so that people in the police department aren't left in this limbo of expectations. Mm-hmm. So it's really about understanding what the program is and what the expectations of everyone else are, and that there aren't any surprises. Cameras are a tool. I think with the right policy, cameras can be used in the best way possible. Will they be abused? Some places they will be, not necessarily Cambridge. I'm not a camera advocate by no means, and we don't want people to be surprised. We don't want people to feel that the police or anyone else are poking around their lives inappropriately. But we also want people to feel that we're using the best tools out there to keep them safe, realizing that these cameras aren't monitored. I mean, the police will tell you that. They don't have anyone looking at these cameras. They're an after-the-fact thing. Mm-hmm. So, and the data's really sketchy on just how safe cameras make sort of general society. You know, Britain had those riots last year. They've got more cameras than you can shake a stick at. So they clearly don't stop all these bad things. Sometimes they just move it away from where the cameras are.
So kind of a mixed review, but it sounds like I'm hearing from you. Let's decide.
It's a mixed review. It's an imperfect world. It's the best policy I think we can come up with to use tools that will, by some people, be abused, but in general can help make places safer.
That's Craig Kelly, a city councilor in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We've also been speaking with Maggie Clark, who reports for Stateline, talking about security cameras. Maggie, Councilor Kelly, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.